The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. This is where sports betting lives. How you doing, man?
Good. Doing well. How about you?
I'm good. You know, I never thank the people behind the scenes, Kelly. We are nothing without the folks who make this show happen. Brendan is back there. Darnell is back there. Does Ortega do our show, or he just shows up and hangs?
No, he does the next show. Okay. So he shows up about an hour before that. Yeah.
Brian Ortega, who's a North Star when producing programs here at the network, is what entertains me, Brian Ortega. That's his whole thing.
He helps us out with any movie trivia that we need.
Reggie,
sure.
Reggie is here, of course, every day.
Not here today, though. We have the great Isaiah Wrinkle filling.
Isaiah Wrinkle is here when Reggie is not. The list goes on and on. If I left out anybody,
DeMond's back there.
DeMond's back there. Yeah. Anyway. We're nothing here at VSiN without those guys. So thanks to those guys every day. The tweets come up. It's all them. We got a great show. Second hour, as you know, on Fridays here has become a staple on the numbers game. Nothing but football. Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Chris Felica, the Bear, on college football and beyond from Fox Sport. We're calling it the British version today. Fox Sport. Steve Fezzik will be here. Steve Fezzik and I have gotten into this routine where not only does he ruminate on all things NFL, but he gives his favorite plays on the look-aheads to next week and says, here's where I think it's going to move. Here's what I'm betting. And so that has been a good staple for us. And then it's Dr. Bob, who had the audacity, had the nerve, the chutzpah, to lose a bet last week. I think we split with chutzpah. Dr. Bob.
What was he, 5-0 before that?
He was 5. I think we're 6-1 now. Yeah, okay. He was 5-0. Or 7-0 or 5-0. I lost track. I think it was 5-0.
I was going to say, if it was 5-0 at one point, but I might be missing a
week. No. I think you're right. Okay. I think it was 5-0, and now he's 6-1. So he'll be at it with another couple college football plays. And you know how the Dr. Bob segment goes. I say, Bob, go. And then Bob goes. And then halfway through the segment, Kelly's in my ear screaming, go Bob, to the next game.
Bob, stop. Bob, go. Bob, stop.
So we'll do that. By the way, the first hour, we should not skip over the first hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke and Paul Carr with his 3-pack of picks. And what does Paul Carr do? He moves the chains forward with Premier League picks each and every year. He's doing just that again this year. I think he's just a tick above 500 in the black.
That's the Football Friday edition.
Football.
Yeah. First hour is football.
First, it's all football. First hour is global. Second hour, our own American version. Speaking of our own American version, I've tried to bite my tongue about this because you don't want to be ungrateful that football finally got here. But we had a couple weeks like this last year, too.
Yeah.
And I remember Drew was on last year on the show, Drew Dinsick. And I remember there was a couple weeks where I was like, wow, that Sunday actually felt a little bit like work. Well, last night, that ain't a good product at all from the NFL, but I hope everybody played the under, which I made a case for yesterday. That gets home as the Cowboys beat the Giants 20 to 15 in what can only generously be described as a snooze fest.
Oh God.
Awesome. Oh my God, with the flags. I thought Al Michaels was just going to jump through the screen and go crazy.
That actually might have been one of the most entertaining parts of the game was Al Michaels when he had the Amazon joke too, like we're going to run out of clean flags, like if someone have Amazon deliver some over, like that part alone made it very tough to watch, Gil, and then just the actual football product wasn't all
well. The flags alone, 15 accepted penalties in this game. Those are the accepted penalties, 15 for 124 yards. If you had shown me the box score this morning and told me that there were 35, I would have believed
you. Oh, me too. 15, how many did Dallas have? 11?
Dallas alone had 11 for 89. Yes, they were the main culprits. Cowboys, Dak ends up 22 of 27 for 221. He has won 13 straight now. Versus the Giants. I did not know that heading into that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second longest streak ever for a quarterback versus an opponent. Bob Greasy against the Buffalo Bills back in the day had 17 in a row. So Dak is behind that. Lamb rebounded with a good game, 7 for 98 and a touchdown. And then Daniel Jones in defeat, 29 of 40 for 281. But I guess the bottom line is here. Did we learn anything new about either team? And I would say no. The Giants with 26 yards rushing in this ball game. So at least Dallas got the best of the opponent's running game for once. I don't know how much of that is Dallas and how much of that is the Giants' futility. But I don't know. I don't know that I leave
that on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know if I leave that game thinking, oh, wow, the Cowboys won a football game. Maybe they're back on track. I certainly don't think that.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons now has an ankle injury to tend to. He left the game earlier with a bit of a little ringer in his head, and then a concussion on the other side with Malik Nabers. So the Giants will have to keep, obviously, monitor that situation, as we will as better. So Giants lose, Cowboys win, but I'm not – listen. Neither of these two teams looks like they're heading to a postseason right now. I really don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair to say. If the Cowboys are going to get there, man, some things got to change around. That's for sure. I thought they were, like, first half, it felt like, it actually felt like heading into the second half, this might end up being a good game, right? Like, it was, Giants were working their way down into Dallas territory, but had to keep settling for field goals. Cowboys had a couple nice offensive plays in that first half. Yeah. You thought, okay, maybe they're kind of building to something here, and we're going to see a little bit more of an explosion in the second half, and it went the complete opposite way. This is one of those Thursday games where you sit here on Friday, and you could say, yeah, you got to win if you're the Cowboys. When you talk about DeMarcus Lawrence heading out of that game and missing Michael Parsons and whatever's going to be going on with him today, I think an MRI scheduled for today for him. Like, those are huge losses if those guys end up missing time.
Remember, the under was largely based on that stat, courtesy of Sean Corner over there at Action Network, which is Dallas in the red zone was giving up touchdowns at a 91% percentage heading into that game. And those things typically regress to the mean. Again, mm-hmm. Cleveland last year, great defense, but inside the red zone, they were giving up a touchdown percentage at 71%, which is, you know, was the highest in the league. That stuff, either to the good or to the bad, typically regresses to the mean. So as handicappers, one of the things we've really got to look for in any sport, not just football, is what is sustainable, what is not, and that will oftentimes lead us to winning bets. Let me just say that unders in Thursday night games are the only things that have been working out for me. And I think with Steve Mackinnon, maybe his son AJ Mackinnon now had the stat, 16 of the last 20 Thursday night games have gone under when the home team is a dog. Now, I played not a home dog the previous week with the Jets, but Thursday night football remains a slog fest by and large. We'll get to our NFL bets coming up. I do want to update the baseball pennant races at this point, not the pennant races. Everything's decided in terms of the division. We'll get to the pennant races, obviously, in the month of October. But right now, American League, again, just following for those who jumped on these bets, the Tigers plus 450 to make. The magic number is now 1. Detroit and Kansas City both win yesterday. The Twins lose. The Mariners have been eliminated. The magic number is 1. Detroit can clinch their playoff berth with a win against the White Sox tonight. I don't know how this Kansas City-Atlanta game, they haven't postponed it yet, but there's no possible way they can play this, right, between Kansas City and Atlanta tonight?
You would think so.
There's no way. And, if anything, it would be like completely gauche of them to do so.
Right.
Like, don't do that.
So they haven't canceled that yet?
Well, not officially.
Okay.
But everyone's expecting them to play a doubleheader tomorrow. That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
So they haven't gotten around to it yet, just in case.
Everybody stay safe out there, man. That was crazy watching last night and this morning coverage of the storm.
Minnesota needs to hit a 9-leg parlay to make the playoffs, basically. They'd have to have Kansas City lose all three of theirs, Detroit lose all three, and then win their final three. That ain't going to happen.
that sounds easy.
Yeah.
It's like Survivor. It's easy, Gil.
It's so easy. What could go wrong?
Come on.
National League, of course. The Padres did lose last night to the Dodgers, in case you missed that late night. What does that mean? That means that the Dodgers have clinched the NL West. And so the Padres, in effect, who play the Diamondbacks, now they travel to Arizona for the final three games of the season. The only thing the Padres really have to somewhat care about is if Arizona swept them, there's a possibility then that for sure San Diego would not host or not host, would not have home field advantage. Let me be clear, in a best of 3-4-5 National League series. But that's the only thing. If they win one game, let's say they won tonight, they'd have nothing to play for over the weekend. Mm. Then they'd be locked in to the number 4 position. But Arizona's got three games against the Padres. Again, if Arizona sweeps, Arizona's in. If Arizona goes 2-1 and both the Mets and Atlanta go 2-1 or worse, Arizona is in. There's also a scenario where if Atlanta got swept, a remote scenario, but let's say Atlanta got swept and Arizona went 1-2 and the Mets went 2-1, we wouldn't have to play the doubleheader on Monday. But that's a remote scenario. We are looking at this point at playing a ridiculous doubleheader to decide it all, meaning deciding the last playoff position probably, or one of the last two, if not both of the last two, in the National League on Monday in Atlanta when all of this is cleared. So again, facing the prospect of Atlanta playing five games in 3 days, if in fact tonight's game is postponed in Atlanta, and then the Mets, if they were lucky enough to advance, would also have a situation where they would have to play three time zones, Milwaukee to Atlanta, then perhaps to San Diego. So it's a whole thing. Whereas Atlanta at least is in Atlanta now, but still five games in 3 days for that. So again, it's a mess in the National League. Our Braves who missed the playoffs, we have it on the show at 8-1. I have it plus 750 in the account. I think we're certainly not in the driver's seat like we are with the Detroit make. That's right on the doorstep. But I think we're in a good position here because Arizona still has it on their racket.
Wait to see what we get, what our prize is.
Yeah. And here, so there's another show.
I don't even know if we're winning, though.
Like, we are winning. Okay. We're winning with that, except another show has the Mets to win the pennant. So we won't have clinched yet.
That's what I was going to say. Obviously, if someone has longer odds on something, we might be in trouble.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what we're playing for, like we said. except for unbelievable
pride.
We're
the only ones talking about it. So.
Oh, no. Ross was talking about it the other day. They're texting me about it. Dave Ross, kind enough to have me on the show the other night. Cashing out.
Dave, who I randomly ran into at the dry cleaners a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
That was a good moment.
Did he say game recognized game? Yeah, is that what you were doing in there?
That's what it was.
We'll come back. Let's talk some football, some Premier League with Paul Carr. On the other side, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Coming up this hour, Steve Fezzik in studio, as well as Dr. Bob with his college football play. Steve on week four in the National Football League. Chris Felica, the Bear, standing by from Fox Sports, talk all things football as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I haven't read any tweets today. My God, what's wrong with me? This is from Roger Jones at Brocco Wins. He said, you guys mentioned a fellow last segment, Will Levis. Is he any relation to ill-advised Billy Levis? Yes, he is, in fact. Direct relation to him. Rick Ollier, I'm just glad that Drew Densick's fish committed suicide before he had to watch whatever that was last night. That game was so bad. So bad. NFL product. But this happened last year, right? There was a couple weeks last year early also that were like this. And then once they sort of had their preseason during the regular season, things started to pick up. So I expect that to happen again as well. Trip Tepper, Drew's Fish had Baylor moneyline last weekend against Colorado. Jeff G, give me that hook, says they have no plans on canceling this Braves game tonight. None. To be honest, we were extremely lucky that Hurricane Helene tracked just a tad further east when it moved up through Metro Atlanta. They plan and win in tonight, gentlemen. Hashtag chop. Jeff G, a big Braves fan, apparently. And then, on the Megapod, John Fitzgibbon saying the dying battery on Gil's computer brought out a sense of urgency from the guys yesterday. Yeah, we had a good time on the Megapod, as always, with Drew. Check it out on the Beating the Book feed. He is the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports. He, of course, does Big Noon Saturdays on Fox Sports College Football, but he also has his podcast, The Bear Bets Pods, both college and pro football. It's Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
Not much. I was expecting before when you were giving out the bet of the week there, you hear a little Sade playing in the background, a little smooth operator.
Oh, no.
Maybe get that cleared for next week for your.
Are you going to sing every time you come on here? Is that a new thing?
Well, you have Wishnev sing on one show every time on the Megapod. So I guess I need to step my game up, right?
I like how you're workshopping things that are allowed on the Megapod, like singing and cursing, and you've already tried both of those now here on.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what I can do.
Yes.
To kind of work my way further down the guest power ranking list.
Oh,
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was killing your girl Iga. I was questioning Shohei Ohtani one time. But like, what else can I do to try and work my way down? And we know Dr. Bob is one. So it's just a question of who's filling in the podium spots after him.
Well, Dr. Bob will tell you if you're unsure about that, let him tell it. He's number one on this. No, you're always good with us, even though, yeah, you're right. Your most recent performances have been downgrades, but we still love you. College football this weekend. Let me just start with the marquee match, Georgia and Alabama. Get your thoughts on that before we get to your picks.
Yeah, I'm liking Georgia more and more as the week goes on. I know Humphreys is out with mono. I think they're going to get some defensive linemen back in the rotation, which will be key. Bama's offense has really been boom or bust this year. I mean, the Georgia secondary with Starks, I think, is good. And I still have questions about Alabama. Like I said, the offense has been boom or bust so far. You look at who they played. USF, South Florida had guys running open. They just missed out on some big plays. Wisconsin played with the backup quarterback. That game was over the minute Tyler Van Dyke got hurt. I don't know. And you go back with Kirby Smart, they've won something like 20 straight games with more than 7 days worth of rest, whether it's been a season opener or an idle week or a bowl game. And look, I know Alabama has the extra week off as well, but it feels like the type of game that Kirby Smart kind of has circled to kind of show Kalen DeBoer, like, oh, this is our league now that Nick Saban's gone from Alabama. So wouldn't be surprised if you see Carson Beck let a rip tomorrow. Delp and some other guys have a big game. I'm liking the dogs more and more, laying the 1.5 as the week goes on.
Yeah, he says he's liking the dogs, DAWGS, not like the dog here, just to be clear. Right. What a great sports weekend with baseball going on, then Georgia-Alabama on Saturday, obviously the NFL on Sunday, if the NFL can get it together. What did you end up with your best bets in college football?
Oregon team total over 39.5. I think the juice has gone up, unfortunately, since I played it. But look, this is an Oregon offense that they had a week off. The last time we saw the Ducks, they played their best football of the year in the Civil War game against Oregon State. UCLA, they got shredded at home the last time they played at home against Indiana. They went to LSU last week in the heat and humidity. Now they have to come back to the Rose Bowl and face an Oregon team that I don't think, if they get up, are really going to take their foot off the gas. Dante Moore, the Oregon backup quarterback now, was at UCLA last year. I think that they will let him play, keep the playbook open. They will let him score points. So Oregon team total over 39.5. I took Minnesota plus 10 against Michigan. Yes, I know Minnesota gave up what was 300 yards rushing last week to Iowa. So of course, I'm going to take them against a team that's basically going to follow the same game plan as Iowa had last week. But Alex Orji can't throw. I'm not sure if Colson Loveland is going to play for Michigan. In fact, this is double digits. I'm going to take Minnesota to cover in a really low scoring, kind of ugly looking game. I took Penn State minus 18 against Illinois as well. I continue to work my way around the Big Ten here. Illinois, I know they hung around Nebraska last week and got that win on Friday night. I just feel like Penn State has more offensive weapons that if they can get up multiple scores in Illinois, the Illini really are not in position to come back from multiple scores down. And, of course, there's that great note that Ralph Michaels originated back before that West Virginia game about Penn State in 2020, 17-0-1 against the number when they're favored by between 7 and 24 points. So this game falls into that mold. This is the type of game James Franklin usually finds a way to cover, whether it's a blowout or with a late cover as well. So I laid the points with Penn State. And then another game, which, again, I hate myself for doing it, but anytime you can take a team that's allowed 104 points in the last 2 weeks, you got to do it. I'm not taking Purdue plus the 10 against Nebraska. Not sure about Nebraska laying double digits on the road. And it was weird. That Purdue game last week against Oregon State, they were betting Purdue like they knew the final score. Like that game, I think it hit two at some point, and then Beavers obviously one going away. But Purdue coming back and home against the Nebraska offense that and Nebraska defense that might be struggling a little bit after kind of giving away a game at home last week. I took the Oilers plus the plus.
All right, let's review those again. Oregon, Penn State,
Oregon team total over.
Oregon team total over. Penn State laying the wood. Purdue plus the points, and the other two were?
Minnesota plus the points.
Minnesota plus the points. Did I leave out a fifth? I thought there were five in there.
No.
Okay,
no,
just no, those four. By the way, you bring up James Franklin. any coach in college football more acutely aware of the spread than James Franklin at Penn State?
No, he is number one with the bullet. There are others, but he is absolutely. I think Lincoln Riley is a guy who is aware of the number as well. Even watching him and the way they score points late. I think Josh Heupel is someone who I don't know if he's aware of the number or not. I think he just wants more every time he has the ball. But James Franklin is definitely the answer to that question.
Yeah, the taking over the mantle from, let's say, Bill Snyder at Kansas State all those years, probably, who was clearly aware all those years. Okay, let's go to the National Football League. Obviously, you do a pro football podcast as well. By the way, do you enjoy doing one more than the other? Because I know, obviously, your bread and butter is college football on Saturdays on Fox.
I love doing them both. I've actually enjoyed doing the NFL one a little bit more this year, just because I've actually had more success in the NFL than I have in college football this year, which is pretty amazing. Like, my picks column on Fox Sports, I'm like under 500. In college, but I'm over 500 in the NFL. And the fact that this year, just because of our schedule and Sammy P having his new show from 9 to noon, and when we record, we've actually had John Murray on every Thursday on the NFL pod. So he's been great in giving his takes from that side of the counter as well. And John, of course, is a sarcastic, dry sense of humor like a lot of us. So yeah, so having John on has made the NFL a lot of fun. The NFL, I fell on two things this week. Cardinals -3.5, just because I know you hate me for that, but I know the Commanders haven't punted it since the week one game. But at the same time, Jamar Chase had a huge game last week. I know I just heard Kelly talking about how Marvin Harrison Jr. has been limited, but I think this Cardinals offense, after kind of having a subpar game at home last week against the Lions, I think they bounced back in a big way. And I'm going to lay it with the Niners. That was an awful, terrible, disgusting loss that they had against the Rams last week. But this Patriots team is not good. I think Hill's coming back. I think Ward's coming back. We saw how great Brock Purdy was last week. I would expect this to be a get-right game for the 49ers. If you look at the schedule down the road, it gets a little tougher. So they got to have this game. So I laid the points with the Cardinals, laid the points with the Niners. I was expecting, before we segued over to the NFL, to get a shot or no shot question from you.
You want to do it? Let's do it.
I thought I was going to get shot or shot. Shot or no shot?
Shot or no shot. Let's do shot or no shot, since you're such a big fan. Shot or no shot, but you have to give me 20-second answers to all three of these. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Shot or no shot. Miami wins a national championship. Your alma mater.
There's a shot. I mean, they're one of the teams now with the transfer portal. They've got the depth to do it, and there's a good chance they win the ACC, and they're sitting there in the semifinals with the top four seed. Shot, great shot, I don't know, but there is a shot.
Okay, how about a team will go undefeated in college football this season? Shot or no shot?
Shot, and I think Ohio State and Texas are the most likely teams to do that, just because Texas has Georgia at home, and Ohio State, outside of that game at Oregon, I think they're clearly better than everybody else on their schedule.
Can I give you a layup for the final one? Shot or no shot? Arch Manning wins a Heisman Trophy.
No shot. No shot. He will not be the – he may start – he may start this week, but once they have the Red River game and they have Georgia game, when you're really back.
How about beyond this year? Yes or no?
No.
No, not even beyond this year. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik in studio next, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com is number one. This is if you're typing it out. The number one, stbet.com. Firstbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, live from Circa, the Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been at this resort casino maybe 5 million times, but somehow got off on the wrong floor today, and we're desperately searching for the studio. I'm glad you found us.
It's like Jeff Spicoli. It's like this new schedule is like totally confusing. I'm used to going to the D.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. By the way, when I introduce you like that, you know there's always someone out there who always objects to me. He won it in the year, you know, Eisenhower. He won it during the Eisenhower administration, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, Jeff Madsen will relate because he was like the World Series poker player of the year back like 20 years ago. And like I won the South Point twice. I was a two-time Stardust Invitational. I won the Leroy's College Football Challenge. So like I was, if only I knew then what I know now, like I was just running luckier than God, you know? And so your natural reaction, well, this can't all just be chance. Yes.
Before we go on to some other stuff, so that luck thing. So we call you in our group thread that we have with Wishnev and Will Hill and Felica. We call you the biggest luck box we've ever. So now this doesn't take away from how good you are at what you do either, but you are both good and the luckiest better I've ever witnessed in my life. Stuff like I'm talking about stuff. Like, let's take a situation that's happening in a game, right? Oh, you need the field goal. Oh, you don't need them to kick field goal. Oh, you need them to get the fourth down. Oh, you don't need them to get the fourth down. Stuff that happens to mere mortals like myself, and I'll speak for most of the audience, where we're like, okay, this never goes our way. It goes your way seemingly every time.
So like famously, like I'm laying minus 7.5 and my team's losing the entire game.
Yes.
Like down 10. And then out of nowhere, like it's double overtime and my team's up 8. You know, it's like, how does that possibly, no one else would have a chance to win. But to be honest, I would quantify, I ran better than anybody from like 1995 to 2006. Then I ran terrible from like 2000, all the way through 2012. Then 2012 to 2017, I had 5 years. I would argue I ran horrendous for 5 years. Since then, I'm back to running better than anybody.
That's incredible.
It's just it's unbelievable. It's like it's been a three-way roller coaster, up, down, up.
Yeah. Most people, like myself, I can name you years where I was great and then years where everything went against me, but you have like these chunks of time.
When I became a father for 5 years, it was just such a mad. I got married and had a child, and for 5 years, I just was discombobulated. It just was such a sudden shock to the system.
Well, you know, that's probably should be your priority in those years, I think.
Probably a good thing.
The big-brained child that you have who's doing wonderful things, we should say. Okay, let's talk about one of the things that you've done here. You're kind enough to come in every Friday, and one of the things that you've done, which has been great, is not just the week itself that we're heading into, but the coming week, you have been great at sort of isolating some look aheads for us.
Yeah. So a bear, an actuary, and a pioneer all come into Circa.
That's Buddhist man's joke today.
Yes. So yeah. Who's going to win the most money in the casino? Well, the bear and the pioneer, unless the actuary like gets to look ahead in his crystal ball. And you know what? I'd rather play checkers than chess. I'd rather look to give you winners week 5 into virgin lines than week 4 into settled lines.
By the way, the bear is Chris Felica. The pioneer is Dr. Bob. You are the actuary in the middle.
I just think you were
an actuary by trade. Right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a fellow in the Society of Actuaries. Yeah, which is like the highest designation. So absolutely.
A fellow, are you?
Okay. Fellow.
So what do you like in week 5?
So let's take a look at the Green Bay Packers. By the way, Jordan Love, not only is he a top 10 quarterback, I'd say you could easily slide him in the top 5 quarterback. Now, the question is, how healthy is he? Of course, I just go on my pure power ratings. On a neutral, I make the game 5.5. There's going to be a lot of dudes in L.A. with those ugly yellow hats that they have. You know, look. I'm not sure what's going on there, but Green Bay is going to represent in L.A. I can't give L.A. more, even with the travel, more than 1.5, and that's generous for home field. So 5.5 minus 1.5. 4.
There you
4.
Go.
And so I'm laying 3. This is at DraftKings. That would be my best bet for week 5.
Oh, was that your boop, 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 boop? Was that what you were trying
there,
to do?
That's what I'm looking for.
All right. And there was another one you like a week 5 too, right?
Yeah. So, but wait, I'm not supposed to disclose what these lines are, but you won't know what these lines are when you're doing guessing lines because they'll have changed.
Yes.
So this is kind of a little, it will not affect
me from Sunday to Monday. No.
It's kind of like when they ask jurors, how can it not affect you? You heard it. You know, disregard these lines.
Wait,
Steve
you
Fezzik.
Think I'm listening right now?
Disregard any line. No. Steve Fezzik is saying, Cowboys Steelers, I think the Steelers are better than the Cowboys, and they're catching one. That just can't be right. So go ahead and give me Pittsburgh week 5, catching the 1 point.
Okay. So a look ahead again from Steve Fezzik. Yeah, we do this every week. What about this weekend itself? Is there a bet that you like above all?
Yes. So, this is a really, really ugly one.
Oh,
so
boy.
We are going to look to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Either way.
So let's do a comp here. All right. So the best team in the NFL I have is the Buffalo Bills right now. Number one in my power ratings. I have Houston like number 15, and I'm actually some people have them even lower.
You have Buffalo 1 and Houston 15.
And I thought I was going to be on an island low. I actually have Houston higher than everyone else. There's like a bunch. There's an aggregator. Imagine that. Someone aggregates power ratings. So they take mine. They take Rufus Peabody, Massey Peabody lines. They take Cleve T.A.'s lines. They take everybody's lines. Yeah. And they say, here's the average. And they actually have Buffalo like 6 points better than Houston, which I was shocked by. I mean, Buffalo's better, but maybe I have them by 2.5.
I think these power ratings are horrific.
I lean to my power ratings.
Okay.
I have Buffalo 2.5 points better than Houston. So here's where I'm going.
That's reasonable.
If you wanted to bet against the Jaguars, why not have played Buffalo last week -4? Buffalo, who's really good, rather than play a much inferior team with Houston, and now you're laying 6. So you lay in 1.5 or 2 more points with a team that's 3 points worse. Now, I know the Jaguars couldn't play a lick, and they were terrible. So we downgrade them. But you know what? My experience has been, I know we want to say, oh, they're a touchdown worse than what I thought. The most I like to ever move a team is 2 points. And I moved Jacksonville 2 points. And based upon those power ratings, absolutely value with Jacksonville. And when the media calls you out and says you're terrible, inevitably, that's the time a team doesn't quit and they show up and play hard.
Jaguars, please, for God's sakes, not Jaguars. We have this discussion off air because it comes up from time to time. Oh, how long do folks who model the NFL, how long do they keep their priors? And you asked me, and I immediately said, I go, oh, the pat response is always 4 weeks, right? Always that. You have a different opinion of that.
Yeah, well, it's a declining scale, obviously.
Yes.
All right, but I'd say over a year. Like, literally, I can get to week 16.
Over a year.
Because, well, think about this.
But isn't that Meshuggah, though?
With that Meshuggah term again.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I got to break out my thesaurus and my dictionary whenever I listen to you.
If a team stinks for 4 months, you're still not giving that full credence?
Correct. I'll go as far as, like, even in baseball. Like, we played 162 games. And I would still say a few of the priors, like the Blue Jays, who were terrible this year, all year long, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably a bad example because anyone who anchored the Blue Jays to their initial number. Let me give an example of why the market agrees with me, by the way. Okay. Look at Jacksonville. Their season win right now, before the season started, was 8.5. They're horrendous. They're 0-3. It's still 6.5. They're still staying anchored to the fact that Jacksonville is basically a 500 team. Now, I disagree with that. I like Jacksonville under 6.5, a little bonus bet for season wins, and you can still play that at Caesars and DraftKings and some other places. But in general, I would say that even like week 9, 10, 11, the odds makers, baseball and football, they stay true. When they calculate like a season win the rest of the year, they're basically projecting that team to win based upon their pre-flop, preseason win percentages.
Yeah.
That I disagree with as well. But I would say by like week 10, typically I'd say it's like 2/3 this year, 1/3 the anchor to start the year.
No, truly, this will sound nuts to most people listening because we all remember certain seasons. Remember when Cleveland was terrible and books just kept getting crushed by because they kept covering, I think
the Cleveland famously for 2 years, they won the season. They won no games and then they won 2 games. But yet every week.
Yes.
The sharps would, and they weren't covering. The sharps
Covering. The sharps kept pounding.
And they kept losing.
Yes.
Week after week. And they would like have the ball first and goal on the one the end of a half. And they would do a Sirianni and not score.
I remember 1 year Rufus kept saying, I think it was a year after Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. He kept saying how good they were. And I finally lost it on the Megapod. I'm like, they're terrible. And they really did stink. Right. So, I mean, I think we remember those situations. But what you're saying is, I mean, it's worked for you through the years to do it your way.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And really, team by team. Now, you have a general principle rule, but some teams are different than other teams. I mean, the Vikings, we had no idea how good the Vikings were going to be. Yeah. All right. And I think it's fair to say that, well, Darnold's capable and we've got O'Connell's a great coach and we need to massively move off of our pre-flop anchor with the Vikings. It was just wrong.
Oh, okay. So you at least you do have some conscience about
yes.
it. Okay. That makes me feel a little better. More with Steve Fezzik. I'll say it again, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. On the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik alongside here on a Football Friday. Dr. Bob still to come. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm being scolded in one of these tweets, and I think it's an appropriate scolding. This is from the real Mike Alasco. He said the 1962 Mets were 40-120, not 42-120. They did not make up two games. Make sure you get it right. You're right, Mike Alasco. I should make sure. So the White Sox are 39-120. They got three games left. The 62 Mets were 40-120. As you pointed out off air, Steve, that was part of the reason why the 69 Mets were called the Amazing Mets.
Because they were amazingly bad, and somehow in the same decade, hey, we could put a man on the moon in the 60s. The Mets can win the World Series. Ron Swoboda, Cleon Jones, Tom Seaver. Wow. That was great pitching staff. Not very good team. And then they went back in 73 to the World Series. So just a great run for the Metropolitans.
You can name 60s and 70s baseball lineups better than you can better you can tell people what happened yesterday, right?
I'm not sure who won the World Series last year. It's just scary how well baseball I used to love. By the way,
Texas Rangers, by the way, in case you're scoring at home.
Say that's impossible.
Yeah.
The only team they could beat would be like a team like Arizona. I'd be remiss not to mention, so I listened to podcasts throughout the week, and I listened to the Megapod, and I got to give accolades. This is like one of the greatest sports betting pods I've ever heard.
Oh, you're very nice. Thank you very much.
It's reminiscent. Yeah. I remember a review of Bruce Springsteen. This is in the 70s, where a Rolling Stones author goes to see him like in a local club, and he's down. He's like just seen like four other bands and they've sucked. And I've listened to four other like pods from sports betting pros. And I'm just like, I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm like, what am I doing with my time? I am not entertained, as they say in Gladiator. Are you not entertained? I'm not entertained. And then literally I got to see the battle against the barbarians scene from Gladiator, the Wishnev, a Will Hill, just spectacular. The whale swimming around there.
Yeah.
It was anything from being gouged in pricing to being gouged in sprinkles with sprinkling of tips of sharp betting. I was entertained.
I hope you were entertained and you were informed as well. Todd Wishnev and Will Hill, awesome to have them each and every week. And of course, the guest like yourself who came on week one, always so generous with their time and insights. And we have a ball doing it. It's every Thursday, the Megapod. That was very nice of you, Stevie. I did not know.
Only because it is fully deserved. So don't miss this one. Really good.
Thank you. Beating the Book Megapod, where all podcasts are distributed. I want to talk about Survivor. You are out of Survivor, as am I, and you hate yourself.
I'm terrible.
I'm soaked in self-loathing.
There is no self-loathing. There is no excuse. I completely misplayed. I'm like Walter Brown, former U.S. Chess Open. One time he lost to like a 1600, and he's like, it's an incredible situation. I make this move, and I'm winning, and I know this is the right move, and somehow I miss it, and I made this move. What am I doing? So last week, there was five big favorites. Six and a half point favorites, plus or minus one. So which one do we take? Well, we handicap all the individual games and we take the one we like the best, right? Wrong. What we do is we realize the Thursday game is always underrepresented. People kind of want to do all the research, right? And in all their contests, and I'm the first one to say I don't like using the Thursday game because it locks in my other four picks, but that's not the case in Survivor. There's one pick, Survive in Advance, 14 million, Gilly. That's life-changing money.
Yes, it is.
And it's obvious you take the Jets because it's going to be underrepresented. Only like 500 people are going to take the Jets, and like 1,200 people are going to take Cleveland or Cincinnati or the Raiders and the like. So because of that, the top four picks all lose. The fit number five pick, the Jets win. And I should have been on the Jets. I'll make the case. Everyone who remains in Survivor, well, not everyone, but a whole bunch of them, they were pretty funky in what they chose weeks one and two. Maybe sharp, maybe not so sharp. But week three, this is the sharpest group of survivors you will ever see, because this was the optimal path to take the path of least resistance. And it'll be interesting now how many of these people are going to take kind of a funky, quirky path the rest of the way. Because now, think about this. They're already on the funky, quirky path, and they might duplicate more than you might ever expect.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are probably sharp, but I think you're giving credit. Too much credit to all 642. I think there's a lot of luck involved.
I think week one and two completely random, but there was no luck week three. You had to play the Jets. I didn't do it, and I played badly. I was horrible.
I've never seen you hate yourself so much. For a guy who doesn't often hate himself and really hate yourself.
Dollars.
Okay, well, for those who are still involved in it now, we were talking about this with Crack yesterday. He's with a partner. He has one entry.
I got
with
a piece of crack.
You have a piece of crack?
I'm a survivor.
Oh, no.
Order the jacket, baby.
Dude, you got to, if they win, you can't do the picture with the check anymore. Like, you're just an investor.
If I'm getting the check,
oh, God.
I can be in the picture.
You're a ridiculous human being. So if you
go, crack, go.
Okay.
Go.
So now do you have any say in what they pick, or are you just a silent guy?
He asked me, but it's okay. But I'm a silent guy.
So he asked you, so I'll ask you now. San Francisco is the biggest favorite on the board, but you have to assume, maybe you shouldn't assume, but I would assume that most people are going to take the Niners. There is no Christmas or Thanksgiving consideration. So Crack's thing is Crack wants to play the Niners, but his partner says, oh no, we shouldn't do that. I'm kind of with his partner, but I don't know if I would have the onions to do that. What do you advocate?
I'm already out. And I don't have a big enough opinion. Whatever. I believe in Crack. So get us a winner, Bill.
Okay, so you're not going to chime in on the.
I would play Niners, but it's I would be fine going contrarian.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also talked briefly about this website, Survivor Sweat. We gave them a big plug yesterday. Good for those guys for coming up with this. This is like a auction house for entries that are still alive in Survivor. For people who want to invest in it.
I would call these CSOs.
CSOs.
Collateralized Survivor Options.
Okay. Collateralized Survivor Options. Otherwise known as, Steve is really trying to make that term stick. Otherwise known as your opportunity to invest at varying percentages of the entries that are still alive in Circa Survivor. And the big revelation, and I'm curious, because you are a guy who is always looking to invest. You're very clever about the percentage on the dollar that you are willing to invest.
80%.
So 80%.
If a survivor, on average, they're worth 22,000. That's how much. So I didn't lose 14 million. I only lost 22,000 with my boneheaded mistake. So if you want to collateralize some of that value, instead of like doing the Joe Pita method where you stay up all night and you hedge like 18 games a week.
You hate the Joe Pita method. I know you do.
It's so inefficient. It makes sense. Joe Pita's method makes sense in a no vig world, but in a vig world, it doesn't make sense in my opinion. But what does make sense is just collateralize 10% of your survivor. Don't give away all of it, but just say, you know what? My 10% of my 22,000 is thing.
Was it 10% of your
10% of your, that's it. Yeah. 2,200.
Yeah.
All right. So 2,200. So why not? Hey, I can go ahead and get back 2,200, lock that in, minus a small commission fee, like a 15 to 20%. So I'll give you 10% of me for 2,000. Now, that's what I would expect to happen, but this isn't happening.
And I think Joe Pita would agree that the cleanest way to hedge is to have people, you know, purchase a percentage of it.
But people want to sweat. So now this is breaking a numbers game. News, people are paying not 80 cents on the dollar. They're paying $1.03 on the dollar.
That's correct. This is what we talked about yesterday. This was the big revelation that not only it's not at a discount, it's at a markup. And so this is absolutely mind boggling. Like, you would never buy somebody's a percentage of an entry for that, would you?
I wouldn't have last year, but I had a revelation. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe for marketing purposes and for just, you know, to discuss your brand, that it might make sense to buy in as an investor, even at a slight premium, and then be able to say, like, I never say I was a Circus Survivor winner. I never, ever say that, although I did order the jacket, which I thought was complimentary.
You did order the jacket, Steve.
I thought it was complimentary, and the dude
measured
my chest and my arms, and then when he asked for $800, I felt, it's not.
You sort of got hoodwinked into the jacket.
It's a good looking jacket.
Well,
you know,
let me define what you're saying, because people are like, your brand. What are you talking about? You're talking about Steve Fezzik, public figure.
Yes.
For your brand, you want to be a part of it, period.
Think about how smart this is. It's like Mitch Moss, last man standing, won a major contest. Okay. Kenny White's daughter wins last man standing. Very important to your brand to have a contest win, at a minimum of one. And so there's people who've never won a contest. And so you would think they'd be paying through the nose to try to invest in a survivor and get that as a part of their brand.
But I don't think an investment is the same as you originally.
Of course it isn't. Of course not.
Yeah, but you seem to believe it would matter, though.
I think it does matter.
An investment would? It would matter to your bankroll if you won, but to your brand? Like, would you go around saying, I mean, are you going around touting your investment from last year?
Well, I do have the jacket. it's like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Where'd you get that jacket, Steve? That looks good.
I think we have a slight disagreement on this matter.
Many thought like Cutback Davis was the surfer to beat today, but it was Jeff Spicoli that wound up wearing the jacket.
If you were looking for a place with Fast Times at Ridgemont High references, you've come to the right place. Steve Fezzik, everybody. Thank you always, as always, for coming in here. Good luck with your investment.
Best bet, Jaguars.
Jaguars plus six this weekend. That's your best bet. Thank you, Steve. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports. He's not the nicest guy at Fezzik Sports, but you may enjoy it anyway. Just tell it like it is. Steve Fezzik, everybody, here on the show. Dr. Bob on the other side with his college football plays. He's got a couple coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.